Would you know how to get rid of your fear, phobia, stress, or anxiety? How to burst your fear and transform your life? Welcome to Fear Busters Show, presented by Lauren Rosenberg, fear and phobia relief expert and author of How to Move Forward When the Unthinkable Happens. You are listening to UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio with Lauren Rosenberg. www.fear-busters.com.
Hi, welcome back to Fear Buster. This is Lauren Rosenberg, your host, and today we're going to talk to Kate, who's a photographer, and we're going to discuss the fear of valuing yourself, fear of valuing your services, and how you can build your business and by feeling more important, feeling that you can value and put money as an exchange so that you are much more valued. So hi Kate, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, thank you for having me.
So Kate, talking about fear of being valued, when do you think that started, or when do you think you're more aware of it?
I've definitely got memories of money when I was a kid. I used to have, I was thinking back, trying to gain some clarity of when this all started. I'm always thinking about why and when, but when I was a kid, I used to get pocket money, and I used to, but I've worked all my life. I've had jobs all my life, but I did used to have pocket money, but I used to have to work quite hard for the pocket money. And I wondered if it came a little bit from there. I always used to have to prove myself to get some sort of reward. Mm-hmm. And so, like, my dad used to make me read the newspaper, that, like, to kind of give me some value around money. And
okay. Which came from a good side of it.
Listen, my dad had absolutely every good intention, but it kind of, in my mind, was twisted with a little bit of fear around it all. You know, it was like give him one and take from the other. And it, in my, you know, childlike mind, I couldn't process what he was doing to me. So it always became quite scary.
So like, when you mentioned that and you're saying it in your mind, it feels quite scary. Where do you feel that in your own body? Where do you feel that as you're talking about it and how you're thinking as a child? Do you feel it anywhere in your body, or is it just in your mind? Or
no, it's like my whole being takes, you know, I kind of, you know, even now it's almost, I mean, it's got such a knock-on effect of being told, you know, when someone's telling me what to do or something like that, I just have this total body kind of shutdown, meltdown of what.
Okay. And would you be willing for me just to try a little something just to maybe shift that melt, that feeling? Can you feel it now when you talk, when you're thinking just about what it was like when you were a little girl and you know, this pocket money, or that feeling that you said that total shutdown, can you tune into that feeling a little bit and so that we can
clear? I could, I'm sure I could.
Would you like to do that?
We could. Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So, Kate, just take a deep breath and just close your eyes and tune, not too much, but, you know, tune into that feeling and notice, where do you feel that? Is it in your chest? Is it in your heart? That feeling of when you said it just takes over.
Well, it kind of starts in my head.
In your head, okay.
My head gets very hot.
So that feeling of feeling hot in your head, what color does it look like? If you had to put a color to it, what color would you say it feels like? If you had to pick a color, what color do you think it would be?
I'm not sure. Blue, maybe.
Blue. Okay. So, and how big is that feeling? You said it's hot, it's blue. How big is it? It's like a basketball ball, a tennis ball, a football ball. How big is that feeling? Is it taking the whole head?
Or yeah, it takes up my whole head. It goes from 0 to 0.
Pretty intense and heavy, probably. Yeah. So, Kate, if you had to pick a color, just keep your eyes closed and stay in that feeling. But if you had to pick a color, that would be the color to release this heaviness that is pretty much in your mind, that is actually stopping you to really being valued and want to do what you want to do in life. What color would it be? If you had to imagine, if you had to pick one color that, or two colors, it could be, that would help you shifting that feeling in your mind, what color would you pick?
Pink.
Pink. Okay. So we have a soft pink or a light pink or
a light pink.
Light pink. Okay. So with your permission, just keep your eyes closed and take a deep breath and imagine a nice light pink above your head coming into your mind, lifting and making that feeling that you have in your head that's been there for quite a long time a little bit lighter. At the same time, you can say thank you to this feeling because you've had it for such a long time. And since you've had it for quite a long time, it may have served you in certain ways without us knowing. So we just say thank you to that feeling. But at the same time, we want to make it lighter so it doesn't really feel heavy and impact on you. So see this nice pink going in, lifting, making it lighter and lighter and lighter. So light and so soft, it'll just flow and it'll just go wherever it needs to go. Just remind yourself that you're safe. We're not taking anything away. We're just making it lighter and lighter. That's all we're doing. As you do that, you may find that you may start yawning or stretching or moving. You can do whatever feels right. But and then whenever you're ready, you can just take a deep breath and then just open your eyes. And now thinking about the event that you brought up a little bit in that emotion, what does that feel like? Does that feel the same? Does that feel a little bit different? Does that feel a little bit lighter? Has something changed?
Well, I feel a bit lightheaded, but actually I feel like I could use that tool and it potentially could be a positive experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I need to have,
yeah, just obviously
put it into practice. Yeah.
So this is just a little tiny little sample of what I would do in a whole session, but just to make you a little bit feeling a little bit more light and able to sort of move on. But when you said money and value and charging for a service that you do, and you do beautiful pictures and you have a talent, that can stop you as an adult, because if as a child you were giving money for a reason or you had to work really hard, as an adult you would probably carry that belief of saying, okay, well, I can only get that money if I work really hard and if I deserve it. And how, and then you have all those questions. Is that what feels like? Is that what stops you valuing your service?
It makes me feel like I am working really hard, and I don't believe that I'm still having to prove myself or having trouble proving myself when I've worked my backside off since I was, you know, 21 to get to this place. And I've been diligent and I've concentrated, but yet I still have this barrier of, you know, I don't believe that I'm at, I mean, it's imposter. It's also a bit of
an imposter syndrome. Yes.
Syndrome as well.
It's like questioning yourself.
You were the little kid that didn't get their exams. Do you know what I mean? I came out of school with nothing. I went to photography college, but only passed. I did my photography degree, but only passed. Do you know what I mean? Everything was just, I've done everything by the book, but it was all just. Yes. And yet now I feel like I'm just winning. You know, I'm winning at everything. I've created this incredible life for myself, but something is just not unhinged, you know, unlocked the door.
Yes, you haven't moved on with that imposter syndrome.
The emotional maturity is still quite like way back in my teens.
So the subconscious mind lives in the present time. So if we don't actually change that, what was created there, then it still will be in front of you at that every time that you start to wanted to do something. And yet you said, I've done everything. I've done everything in the right way. But is that imposter syndrome coming in and stopping you to actually be who really you want to be? Yeah. And I mean, for the listeners, I have seen your pictures and they are amazing. Those photographies are amazing and you have got talent. But is believing in yourself and knowing that you have something, you have that gift. And so what's the thought or that comes in, like when does it come in? Like you take it, I mean, the picture, taking pictures, I presume is like a freedom for you. You really enjoy it, it's your passion. So
I think again, what I discovered when I was younger quite quickly was that I wasn't very I was a creative, do you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. communication was my thing. And so when I don't have to be what's the opposite of creative? It's, you know, I'm not an academic. So when I don't have to prove myself as an academic and I can excel on my social skills, then that's when I'm flying. So when I'm mm-hmm. with a client or with a family or with a little kid and I can really tap into that, you know, my child inner child or mm-hmm. my playful inner self, then that's when I'm, you know, in my happy place. But it's when I have to kind of do the bookkeeping or the money and all that.
It's just when like, when a judgment comes in or when it's
really hard for me. It's yeah. quite interesting because I've also been single quite a long time in my life. So I think that's really played a massive part in my lack of confidence as well. And I think that takes a big, you know, like I've had to deal with a lot of things myself. And I've also kind of gone back to my parents and said, you know, help me, help me, help me, help me. And I've maintained that child-adult relationship.
You keep going in and out in that sense.
I mean, so that type of behavior for me has been echoed, you know, before I met my boyfriend, you know. So I've only been with him for 5 years and he's really given me a lot of different techniques to, you know, to communicate with people in my personal life and in my work life. But before that, I probably was, you know, calling my dad up every 5 minutes to say, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? So
it's getting the appreciation and the judgment and being like having that, it's like a little girl wanted the dad to say, yes, you've done really well. And yes,
yeah,
it's good.
Honestly, I mean, literally for my whole school life, I didn't do very well. I was the naughty kid, the loud, you know, the disruptive kid in the back of the classroom, passing notes under the table. That was
well,
me.
Well, you know, if you're artistic, then if you're creative and artistic, then school is not the best place because they assume that everybody is academic, and that's why you were disturbing. And but now you've turned it into a profession, and that's why sometimes people don't understand that. Every child is different, and but it's interesting that you kept on coming back to the childhood, wanted that appreciation and value.
It's bizarre because it crippled me when I was younger, and it was almost like, don't tell me what to do. I want to find out what life is like before you tell me. Do you know what I mean? Don't tell me about falling over if I go round that way or up that way. I'll take it. I'm big enough to trip over and figure it out myself. But my dad was always like, I will let you know when that happens, kind of thing.
So he wanted to protect you, and that protection turned into a bit like a crutch. You just need that crutch each time, like just to make sure that it's okay. So do you have any siblings? Or
I do. I'm actually one of three, but then halfway through my parents got divorced. Well, I was only 10 actually. So my parents got divorced and we welcomed in two more sisters. So okay. My mum left Liverpool, went to go live in London, and then we kind of grew by another three. So it was quite a big party in the house kind of thing.
So that didn't help you? Because sometimes having siblings can help you to value yourself or to, you know, to have to out of your comfort zone, you sometimes have to push yourself and or
I think we work pretty well. I mean, I think we all had our own demons going on with post-divorce and living in a whole new setup. It was quite full on. But
are you the first one or
the youngest? I was the youngest. But my youngest stepsister, the two girls that came into the family, one of them was in my year at school. So we were already best friends, you know.
Okay.
We were effectively best friends. Realistically, we were already. So it was quite a unique situation for us to now live together and have each other as confidants, really like proper sisters already. And the others were a little bit kind of, well, my sister left home. One went to go and live in Israel and become, you know, Hasidic kind of, and, you know, one moved, and then my brother moved out, went into the music industry. And then it was just me and Janice, like, we just kind of stayed together. And it was very, you know, I thrived off that situation. It didn't really.
So did you find that Janice will give you the confidence or value yourself or?
Yeah, she was definitely on my team for sure. And we would probably be cringing at the authority that, you know, was going on in the house. But equally, while they weren't looking, we were like going like this as well. So, you know, I mean, we had our own fun behind their back.
So now many years later, you know, you're still sort of a little bit stuck in that childhood.
I think I am. Yeah. And it really is quite a big, big card in my life and my relationship. And
what do you think what is the actual gain of being stuck in that childhood?
Consciously
there isn't, but subconsciously there's still something.
Listen, there's pros and cons. I mean, the fact is that I don't have kids as well. So when people say, oh, you know, when you have children, it makes you feel like you can be a kid again, all over again. Well, I'm kind of okay. Come up on that stage. Do you know what I mean?
So maybe it's that part of you that still want to be that child. So it's like finding a balance of how you can actually still be creative, be that child, but not to be in the actual real subconscious mind belief that was created. And, you know, it was from a good way. I mean, Dad wanted to help you, but subconsciously it got taken the wrong way, that you have to work really hard. When you change the belief, especially in business, when you believe that you don't have to, obviously we have to you have to set things up and you have to do some work, but if you start changing the belief that actually I don't have to work so hard, I still deserve to get good outcome of my business, and clients are going to be so happy to see what I do and they are going to value my work and they're going to want to pay for this work, then I know at the beginning your mind probably will say, oh, it's a lie, because that's the imposter syndrome. That little voice is going to say, oh, why would they want me? Why, you know, there's lots of other photographers out there. And then, but gradually, if you keep telling your mind and tricking your mind, the way that your mind is tricking you now by saying that you're not valued and not good enough, then you can trick your mind and say, okay, well, actually, I am good. People actually want my work because I have this gift and this talent. And especially with photography, I find that everybody, that really good ones like you, there is something about the pictures that give, you can't, that is a talent. You can't just, you know, anybody can buy a camera and take pictures. But, and especially nowadays, you know, everything changed. We have our phones, our iPhone, we can take pictures every time we want. So taking a really good picture, it is a talent. So you have that talent, and a talent is not measured with a piece of paper and an exam. That I always think,
it's certainly a photographer's nightmare. It'd be like, oh, your camera takes really good pictures. You've got such a great camera. It takes amazing pictures. You pay £2,000 for, you know, a camera, and someone goes, oh, it's amazing. But actually, of course it's not. It's the person holding it.
It's the person behind the camera that actually is taking, because you've got, I mean, you know, I'm not an expert in pictures and photography, but definitely in the lighting, the setup, and you have the part, the catching the emotion, that is what I, and this is what I saw in your pictures, is catching the emotions. And especially as a, you know, a fear and phobia expert and working on emotions, I felt, looking at your pictures, that you could see the emotion passing.
You felt emotion. Yes. You felt emotional looking at my pictures.
Yes, there is. You can tell the emotion of the person by looking at your pictures. So they're not just blend. They're not just a picture. They have some that extra little talent and that extra little dimension that I think that people are looking for when they're looking for a photographer. So you have that, but it's a question of you believing it and that you actually have something even better. And it's not that piece of paper that you got your degree or whatever, or photography certificate, and you kept on saying, like, well, every time I had an exam, I just passed. That piece of paper doesn't really mean anything. You know, I'm French speaking, and in England, a lot of kids pass and do their GCSE in French and A level even in French. And then when I ask them, okay, can you speak French? And they can't, but they did get an A star in their French. So that piece of paper has no value, because if you can't actually speak it, what is it? But it has value of getting you to the next step, and they can go to university. But really, you can't really, you know, go to a job and say, okay, I have A star in French A level, but I can't speak French. So what I'm saying is, sometimes the power of the paper is not so important. It's actually the person, and the more you value yourself, the more people are going to want to use your services as a photographer, because they're going to see how important you are and how important you are to them, because they need those pictures, because those pictures are actually showing so much that is going to be wanted. But that you mentioned the imposter syndrome, and that is quite a big thing. People do have imposter syndromes. You know, wanted to go to signing a contract, and on the way to deliver whatever they're doing, if it's like a speech or having to deliver whatever services, that, and suddenly on the way they're like, do they really going to like me? Do they want me? Why did they ask me? Or maybe I shouldn't do it. And then turning around and wanted to get home. And, you know, it does. People do feel like that. People, and everything that sometimes person wants, and suddenly you have this little voice coming in, because it reminds you of when you were little, saying, well, maybe I don't deserve it. Or maybe actually there's somebody else that's maybe better than me. But actually, no, you were asked to do that job. And it's the same thing when people come to you, they come to you and not to somebody else. So it's really about learning about how important you are for yourself and how important you are for your clients, because you are making some changes, because especially a picture can show so much. And I mean, obviously the pictures, it's funny, in the old time people used to say picture never lies, because what you see is what it is. But now you can change so many things in a picture. It's just like quite, it's not what you even can see sometimes. It's not even, there's so many different aspects that you can change.
And everything in one. Yeah. In two frames, you can catch someone, you know, looking totally no emotion, and then you can set it up, or you can retouch it, or you can, you know, put a filter on, whatever. And
yeah, it's it has a good side and it has a sort of a bad side too, because putting a filter on, sometimes, you know, people get the wrong idea of things. But but how did you get into photography? How did you know that was your passion?
Well, once again, I felt that it was the one thing that didn't challenge my, you know, academia. And it was probably right at when I was doing my GCSEs. So 15, 16, my dad was really passionate about photography and film, and bought me a camera, and he wanted to teach me something. And he wanted to, you know, when he realized that reading the newspaper for pocket money wasn't cutting, wasn't, wasn't blending our relationship. He tried a different tack, and he just didn't got, you know, he showed me, you know, a photography book or took me to an exhibition, and it must have just clicked in place with me and went, ah, oh, now this isn't adding 5 + 25, you know, degrees with the, I can't even speak in the maths terminology. You know what I mean? It was just, there was nothing about school in it whatsoever. We didn't even have photography in school. So yeah. It was very kind of new and exciting for me to create. And with that, I decided to, you know, indulge it. And maybe that was the mutual a common language we could share, and where he wasn't telling me how to behave and who to hang out with and what time to be home and what to wear. And
you could use the photography to express yourself in that sense. Did you, now I can understand why there is a part of you that always goes back as a child, because it is connected to dad in a good way too, because he's the one who actually gave you that passion and started off with buying a camera. So it's almost like
it's ironic, isn't it? Like the person that, you know, gave me such a, you know, it wasn't a hard time, believe me.
It has had an impact on you. So the way to do it and the way to move forward would be to look at the good side and actually able to say thank you to your dad and say, okay, wow, thank you to because of that gift. It actually helped you creating what you're really good at.
And you know what? And it gives me such pleasure and empowerment to thank him now. And I have done, you know, every 6 months I will call him up and say, I want you to know that somebody told me how wonderful I was. And I'm thanking you sincerely for giving me that, you know, encouragement and the skills and the, you know, every aspect of my being is because of what you did to me back then, but I just wasn't able to appreciate it at all, you know.
But it was there, and he the fact that you had that camera as a gift that created something. And so if you're able to actually think of your childhood as, wow, that was so special, and that I was so valued that he actually could see something that I wasn't able to see at the time. And that was worth much more because I am so important, and that was worth so much more than the little pocket money that I had to work hard with it. And on top of that, you didn't have to work hard at all. He gave you that gift as camera in that sense, so because you could see something. So if you're able to look back at a little girl that actually the perception that you got thinking that you always have to work hard and deserving and having to do something in order to get that money, if you can go back now and think of that little girl that actually she got it a little bit wrong, she actually doesn't have to work hard, she even was appreciated. And her father saw something so special that he actually bought the first camera. So if you're able to turn that into a completely different scenario in your mind, then you will no longer be that little girl that has just passed and didn't have the appreciation. Then you turn that whole completely, and you can then move on and really flourish and say, wow, actually, he saw something that I didn't even see at the time.
Yeah.
And now is giving you that career. And now you can actually go for it and value yourself and put the prices that you deserve to, you know, for your services. So if you look back at that little girl, what would that be possible to empower, to give her the power and the control and the value?
Another aspect of it is feeling sorry for people. I don't really know where this has come from either. It's like, why am I feeling sorry that you can't afford to pay my fee? You know, why do I need to always undercut myself so that I get your business?
That is a question of so people who feel like this, it's because you don't value yourself. You don't see how important you are for those people. If you realize that your service, because of those pictures, they may get more work out of your pictures, then your pictures are a much better value than anything else. So they will go. It's the same thing for me. I mean, transforming somebody's life in a few sessions, the value of it, if I were actually charging the value of it, I could charge, you know, X amount of millions in that sense, because you change people's life. You make a big difference. But obviously, it has to be reasonable, because if you want people to, you want to help people. But if they see the value of it, and if they see, in order to see the value of it, you have to see that you are valuable. You have to see that you are important. And when you start shifting that in your mind, and you understand that actually they need you because you are making a big difference in their life, in their business, or whatever, or you're catching memories. I mean, how many, everyone out there, I'm sure all the listeners, we all have pictures on the wall of memories I don't think there will be at least one picture of someone there will be, but, and what we have when you go on holiday, when you go to a place, when you celebrate something, you take pictures because that's where you go left after.
Yeah.
You've got the memories. You can look at the pictures. You remember those events that happened. So you create something that's invaluable. And yeah, that is how you need to see it when you present your work. You are invaluable. When somebody does a wedding, they need a photographer, because many years later, they're going to look at those pictures. 20, 30, 40 years later, they're going to look at those pictures. And yeah, that is because of you. So that you have to put yourself, so you have to do the work on yourself first and see how important your job is in their life, how important you are as a person in their life, because you, thanks to you, they will be able to have those pictures and see those pictures for many, many years. And that is how you need to, when you see a client, and when you approach them, you need to put that message in that actually I'm creating something that is going to be there for the rest of your life. I am catching the memory for the rest of your life. And, you know, when there is wedding or any event, people take a photographer and they also take a video man. But the video, how often do you have time to actually, it's nice, it's really nice to see to see the event again. But how often do you actually see the film compared to the pictures? Very often you sit down and you can look.
That's a lot in my interviews, you know, when I go to see the client's house, they say, yeah, when was the last time we got the video out? But this is something that we can look at all the time.
And you put the pictures up. I mean, you do put the pictures up. I mean, I have family pictures on my wall. And you can also, now you've got the photo album that you can do. You can print pictures and put them in photo albums. So you are important because you are catching something that is never going to happen again. And because you're catching it, that is how important that is. And so when you go and when you offer your photography services, you need to step into that person, how important you are for them. Why do they need you? And when people understand the value of it, then people just pay because they know it's important.
Yeah.
You know, when I see people, it's the same thing. The value that I gave, they know they want to see me because they know I can transform their life. I can change something. So you change, you take rid of that fear, and then you can move on and transform your life. And you are, so the thing that stops you is that, is turning and changing that little voice at the back of your head saying, I'm not good enough because maybe I just passed my exam or just passed. That you just literally just put it in the bin, take that thought in your mind out, throw it out and say, actually, I am really good at what I'm doing. I am giving such value. I am memorizing. I'm literally catching all those pictures so that they will have it for the rest of their life. And that is worth everybody wants to have those pictures for weddings, for anniversary, you know, birthdays. Look at even with COVID, how many photographers had to change, and they started taking pictures at the front door.
That was one of my major pivots for the year.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, that was what I was just about to interrupt you to say. Yeah, this year has been excruciating for me, because we all know that we've all decreased our money intake and our lifestyles have changed and shrunk and, you know, gone in completely different directions or no direction.
That's true.
So when I was doing my doorstep portraits during the first few months of lockdown, I was doing it for free and I was giving a lot of money for charity. And eventually I decided that it became so popular that I actually ended up charging a proportion and giving some to charity.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, I managed to donate £2,000 to the Boreham Wood Food Bank. But my point was that I seem to have this fear that nobody's got any more money, and so how can I then start charging for running around taking pictures and processing the pictures, and where do I go from here? How can I come back to a normal price point when I've been working for very little in the first half of this year? But surely I've got to get back to
So basically, when we had the first lockdown and the announcement of COVID, everything sort of changed, and obviously everybody had to readjust and the income changed. But gradually, people did start adjusting, and a lot of people, and I also did, doing for free, helping, giving support, and just because once you have a skill and you may as well share it, because everybody, we were all together in the same thing. So and then gradually as we started, and I also started charging, and that's what happened. People now are adjusting, and people now are starting earning again. Yeah. And you do need to charge, because this is your charge, your time, not what you gave. Because I always said to my clients the same thing, like, I charge for my time, because if I was charging what I gave, taking somebody's fear away, and then the person's completely different, there is no price on that. So you have to charge what you think your time is worth. So you look at your time, you look at how many hours you need for that, and then you charge for that, and then you feel comfortable. You don't charge for what you gave. You charge us for your time, and then you start valuing yourself more, because, you know, if it takes you an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, or if it's a day because there's a wedding or whatever it is, then you are more comfortable, because you know that it feels better in the sense, because you're charging for the time, but you know you're giving them such a big value of what they're going to have the rest of their life. And then I think it helps you in feeling important, but also in respecting. People are struggling, and as long as you put an exchange in place, things works. If you don't put an exchange at all and you only give, it doesn't work. So, and as you start giving, it comes back, and you obviously don't give just because you want to come back. But if you even put like a minimum, it doesn't have to be even money, just an exchange of skills. But as you start doing an exchange, people start respecting you, start seeing you as an expert in that field, because you actually put an exchange in place. And energetic wise, you're actually sending, you're putting an exchange. You don't just keep giving, because if you keep giving, you are going to burn out also. And also you need to pay for your bills. Now is the time for you to look back and say, okay, how much should I charge for an hour? What would feel right for me, because I value myself and because I am important, and I'm giving them something that is worth so much more, and they can have it for the rest of their life. And photography have changed so much. It used to be in your time that the photographer could still charge if you wanted to reproduce a picture, but now once people have it, they have it, so they don't need to come back to you. That's another thing. So you really need to look at the whole picture and what you're giving them and what you're happy with. But the part of really valuing you will make a big difference. And if you're able to start thinking that Lalik to go was so important and this is what dad gave her that camera, then every time you hold that camera, you're going to feel so much more empowered and so much more powerful and valued. And then you'll start attracting clients that will want to pay your services.
Yeah.
Is that something you can start thinking?
I can't wait to start thinking.
Yeah. So
do you know what? To be honest, I feel like it's not even when the clients come to me and said, I can't afford you. It's almost like it's happening way before the clients come.
Yeah,
to
definitely.
Me. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, I appreciate that when I've got a client who's emailed me, it's because they want me. And I understand that if they can't afford me, I should find ways around it.
Or maybe you can start changing your belief and say, okay, every client that is going to inquire by me can afford me.
Yeah.
Because what we send out there, energetic wise, to the universe comes back. So once we start changing the belief, things can happen. So I would give you an advice of a little exercise to do is, first of all, reinforce that little girl that actually she was, that the father was so proud of her that actually he saw something in her and gave her that camera. And I would also start thinking and saying to your mind, tweak your mind, saying, actually, there are lots of people out there who need my services and can pay for my services.
Yeah.
And then it takes about 21 days to change a program in the mind. So every morning, every night, start saying that. Start seeing people sending an email, ringing you, wanted your services. Don't put that negative idea of they can't afford, because you don't know, actually deep down people can say that, but we actually don't know what's their financial situation. And a lot of people who can't actually won't even say it. So just put it out there that actually everybody can actually pay for my service. And then give yourself 21 days, keep saying that, and then see what happens. We attract what we're thinking, and it's really important to listen to that inner voice that is criticizing and saying negative things, and turn it and change it. And it's like reprogramming. You know, when a computer crashed down, we download, we delete some program. That is the same thing. We just need to reprogram, recharge, and recharge this battery and change that program, and then you can get on, and then you'll see things will happen. Where can listeners find you if they want to see those beautiful pictures?
So my website is katesswordlowphotography.com.
Excellent.
I've got an Instagram, kate_swordlow. And of course, I've got Facebook business page as well, Kate Swordlow Photography. All the usual channels with my
phone. Excellent. Kate, thank you so much for being in the show today, for talking about your fear and this imposter syndrome. You're listening to Fear Buster, Lauren Rosenberg. Looking forward to talking next week about another fear. Have a good week. Bye.